Our gradual hymn is hymn number 485, and we will sing two verses before the gospel reading and two afterwards. Hymn 485.
From the 33rd verse. Glory to Christ our Saviour. Here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to wine presses and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the wine presses that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said amongst themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to Jesus, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind into powder." Now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ our Lord.
Speak in the calm of our minds and in the longing of our hearts by the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts. Speak, O Lord, for your servants and sinners. And this we pray in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It was very This is because we hear the Old Testament reading. Thank you, Peter. Because if you listen to the Old Testament reading and Paul's letter to the Philippians, Psalm 90, and even the very last verse of the hymn that we have just sung, it speaks about the relationship between faith and law. The fourth verse of the hymn says, Lord, make my life a life of love. Keep me from sinning all I do. Lord, make your law my only law, your will my will, for love of you. So yes, like here today we meet, like I said earlier, after some absence, to worship God, and part of our worshiping of God is to gather here this morning and to express our thankfulness, to come and receive some form of hope that a better world may await us, and for us to suffer another with a little bit of encouragement. After 6 months, we gather to devote ourselves anew to God and to listen in the hope that God would speak in a very special way to us, and that you and I will be able to do what it is that God asked of us to do. And so here we are, we listen, we pray, we sing, hoping that the comfort of the Holy Spirit will lift us up and give us the peace that Christ promised to those who follow him. And do we need that peace right now? And as we worship, we are reminded of how far we are yet to go in our faith journey, as we continue in faith with God. You know, friends, sometimes the word God is experienced as confrontation and discomfort, particularly so when it reminds us of our shortcomings, of our humanness, of our nature, of our sinfulness, and our struggles in this life. And another time, we may sit in church and we may listen to the preacher and experience the word of God as misuse and or abuse to dish out the beating. Brimstone and hellfire, those kind of messages. Doomsday with no escape. And sometimes we believe, dear friends, that we are hearing too much about the law of God, and that we hear too little about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And again, I need to refer you to our readings for this morning and the psalm, and even the hymns that we sung, because it speaks about the law and how we relate in faith to the law. Now, I know I've been in this church of ours for long enough to know what is good for my salvation and what is good for me, and I'm confident that you know too. Because today's readings is just some of those rare occasions that gives us, you and me, an opportunity to reflect upon the law, the laws of the church, the laws of faith, the laws that has been delivered unto Moses and the people in the Exodus reading. And I'm quite sure that many of us in our life have quoted Exodus 20 at least a number of times, when we needed to remind each other of what we ought to be doing. And I also know that our understanding of the law is a subjective thing, because it depends on what side of the law we do find ourselves. And there can only be two sides to the law, the right and the wrong side of the law. And so at least, even when we do our confession in church, we are reminded by means of summary of at least two summaries of the law that we are called upon by God to consider. And then we say to each other that law is prescription, and we know everything about prescription. We know about going to the doctor, we know about diagnosis and prognosis and prescription and medication and what we are given to make us better, to make us whole, to make us people that experience wholeness. We know about medication that is being prescribed to bring about healing. And so it's the same doctor. It is the same when God prescribes to Moses and the people in the Exodus reading this day what ought to be done. He that is on control, dear friends, and then destroys the word of God out of the mouth of Jesus, both the physical body and the soul, is making a prescription unto us this day. He's asking us to reflect upon the law and to do what is right. And like our earthly physicians, our spiritual doctor, from time to time wishes to call in and check up on us. Check up on our spiritual well-being. See what it is that we need and how best that need can be met in him, our God, who knows our very need before we ask and our ignorance when we do ask. And yet he provides and gives us the things that we need. maybe he just wanted to check in with us to see whether he's time for us to try something else. And you know what? God is expecting each one of us that when it is not okay with us, when we are not well, when things are not going right in our life, when we do not feel well, to call in for a consultation and maybe just to get a new prescription as to what we should be doing and how we should go about developing a good and a healthy spiritual life. And maybe we started the Exodus reading this morning so that God can remind us, because we so often forget what it is that God has done for us, how he has brought us to a relationship with him, and how he has set us free from the slavery of sin. Maybe not in the same sense as was the case for the Israelite people, but in relation with Jesus Christ, the very same. And so, dear friends, the law is not something to be feared. And our understanding of the law, thereof, should not be subjective. It should not be like, I am trying to do the right thing here. It should not be dependent on where we are. The word of God says the law is healing. It is bringing wholeness. It is what is good for us. The Ten Commandments, as we have heard, some of them being quoted in the Old Testament reading of this morning, and some of the others that we may call Bibles. It is meant to be a gift. It is a blessing. It is an act of grace by God himself. And it is what God chose to shower upon his people. And here when they say that those who are experiencing good and positive spiritual growth has always been the people who have shown delight for the law, knowing that it is meant for their well-being, not for their ill. Notice it's the word of God that it provides good and wise counsel, and that it is the best guidance in this world, because the author is the one who gave us everything in this world and created us in his image. The psalmist says this morning, and I quote, he says, God's commands are more desirable than gold, even much fine gold. And yet so far, so good. Before confusion steps in. And I can only speak for myself. Because we so often confuse and entangle ourselves with our search for a relationship between the law and faith, and what should take precedence over what? Is it law that gives origin to faith? Or is it our charitable good causes, our good deeds, and our support of the law that develops our understanding and our faith? And maybe the word of God wants to remind me and each one of us here today that what God presented us as a gift of pure grace and mercy, that which has given and received, has now become an object of debate and division. And again, I need to remind you that those spiritually well have always shown delight in the law, because they know it to be good for them. It contains wisdom and it serves as a guide. Believe me when I say to you, I bring to this message this morning my own faith, my own struggle, my own uncertainty. And I rely heavily upon Paul, on what has to be said on this important topic, about the relationship between law and faith. Because so many of us as Christians want to divide ourselves between law and faith, those supporting the one as opposed to the other. There are some of us who wants to believe that the Catholic, or what I would call the Orthodox side of our community, put too much of emphasis on charitable causes and good deeds, whilst the Protestant side of us believe that faith reigns supreme. And many of us have had some wonderful experience of Paul's letter to the Romans, the one that has been used by the great reformer Martin Luther, to simply say that we are saved by grace alone, and by faith alone, and not by works. So here we are, some of us even believe that the Bible, that the word of God can be divided between the Old Testament that calls upon our works of righteousness, the law of God, which if we obey, will place us in a very good relationship with him. And then, as opposed to faith in righteousness in the New Testament, that speaks about the goodness and the forgiveness of Christ. We cannot do this. We cannot separate the word of God in that sense. And whilst we may not agree with this set of the scriptures, maybe some of us will, but the fact remains that there is a difference between living by faith and living by the law only. Paul says to the Philippians this morning, he says, we ought to be living in hope, and not just any hope, an incredible hope, a hope not based on our past actions and our behavior in accordance with the law, but a hope that is based on the behavior and the actions of Christ Jesus, who came and in the love of God gave us grace and set us free. That's what Paul is saying to the Philippians. But he also warns them, he says, that those who have run the race of faith with Christ will be raised with you. They will be raised to life everlasting. In other words, those who fulfill the law of Jesus will be with them and with you. He says that considering all things rubbish, Paul says, I consider all things rubbish in order to gain Christ, not by law, or maybe not by law only, but by faith in Jesus Christ himself. And yet Paul is not condemning the law. He's not abolishing the law. He doesn't say forget about the law or that it is not important. Nor is he saying that the law is bad. We all know Paul as someone who has shown great appreciation and love for the law. And he did everything according to the law. Paul says, I came to be a Hebrew. I did everything according to the law, what was expected of me. And whilst he did so before his conversion and his experience of Jesus Christ, he even did so after his conversion and his wonderful experience of grace with Jesus Christ himself, before and after. What Paul is saying is that we cannot build ourselves and our life and our relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus, and then just walk away from what is expected of us as a priesthood that comes from God himself. But it also says that we cannot build a relationship with God by following the law alone as a standard. Listen to the words that Paul says. Paul didn't say that I consider all things rubbish to gain Christ only. He said, I set aside wonderful things. I set aside the wonderful values that my parents taught and instilled in me. I set aside the wonderful things of the law that I was taught as a professor of the law, a guy who sat at the feet of the wise Gamaliel, says Paul. I set aside my education, my heritage, my high status among others, my life achievement. I set aside. And I put Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8b and 9. For Christ's sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. And so Paul's testimony is not that of some convert at a tender revival who declares he has set aside the life of drunkenness, the life of abuse, to find the way of Jesus Christ. It is not a competition. It is not seeking sensationalism to justify and to brag about your conversion or riding cloud nine on our way to redemption. This is not what it is about. Paul says that the value in relationship with Christ surpasses everything of highest value to him and the world around him. He says, including the righteousness that comes from obeying the law. And remember, friends, Paul obeyed the law. Paul says, friends, the law is good, for it comes from God. That's for himself. And so, faith reminds us of the promise that God has made for us. Faith reminds us of who God is, of what he has done for us, and what he's going to do for us. Faith is what reminds us, says Paul, of the goal that awaits us, that we are moving towards this prize, that we are striving to obtain something, that we want this wonderful relationship with our Creator, and that it is coming. Not because we have earned it in any particular way, but simply because God loves us. And so the Word of God says, do not allow what you have done or not done in the past to blur your vision and draw you do not focus your attention so much on the letter of the law that you forget the giver of the law, the God himself, who gave us life and everything else. And the message is then quite very simple. It says, focus upon knowing Christ, upon moving forward to reach the goal which lay ahead, the prize that awaits each one of us. That is the simplicity of the message. From a faith focus like that will come, says the Word of God, the desire to do all that the Lord requires of each one of us. From a faith like this in Jesus Christ will come the readiness to love as God does and to do as God would do. From that will come the readiness to love and to do as He would do. From such a faith, says the Word of God, will come the desire to obey the law. And so, dear friends, I pray. May God be praised for His grace and His love, for His Christ and His Holy Spirit, for the law that He has given us to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to guide us on our faith journey. Not just by law, not just by faith, but by a relationship between the two, as we pray this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.